Welcome, everyone, to the PLM Quick 30 from Archer Gray, where we talk about all things PLM. This is part two of a two-part series where we sat and had a discussion with Jim Roche from SimData. And if you haven't listened to part one, I encourage you to do that because it lays the foundation and gives some historical reference as to what we're going to be talking about here in part two, which we'll start to get into the Aerospace and Defense PLM Action Group. And we'll be discussing how major Fortune 500 companies from aerospace and defense are meeting and working to establish what standards will help benefit PLM moving forward. So you really don't want to miss it. And I encourage you to listen to part one because it helps lay the foundation. So without further ado, part two of the PLM Quick 30 with Jim Roche.
PLM early investment as well as early adoption was really spearheaded by aerospace and defense. And a lot of the PLM systems we know today actually were created and went through their early development within aerospace companies.
We run into clients who will struggle with establishing a roadmap. I mean, some clients are implementing for the first time, right? So they're looking for strategy and direction so that it can foster their growth and achieve their objectives and 3 to 5 year vision. I have some exposure to SimData, and I primarily think of you guys as a all things research firm related to PLM and a strategic organization that related to PLM where you can go in and consult with your clients and you have various folks on your team that have tremendous experience like you described in your background. And I know that you specialize in aerospace and defense, and I believe that, well, if you could take a couple minutes to just summarize what SimData does, but then also understanding these trends throughout the, you know, each 10-year increments, what are you seeing as a problem area and how are you overcoming those challenges? Because I believe you established a PLM action group, and I'd like you to touch on that if you would, please. But first, you know, rewind. Just give me a summary of what SimData does, and then if you could roll into, you know, a challenge that you're seeing and what you guys are doing to help organizations out.
Okay. Well, I think you summarized who SimData is, what we do, pretty well. I'll repeat it, and I think you did it as well or maybe better than I could, but SimData was founded in 1983 as a research company. The original impetus for the organization was IBM coming and asking a couple of people they knew who were relatively senior and available to help them understand what was at that time in the mid 80s called SIM, computer integrated manufacturing. They wanted to know the size and distribution within the market. So SimData was formed as a market research company. And quickly expanded into education and started developing educational forums and classes and conferences. And with that, developed relationships with the PLM suppliers and also started to establish relationships within industry, people who are struggling to understand what PLM is and how to exploit it. So the company naturally grew into beyond just market research and education into providing consulting services, both to the solution providers and to industry consumers. The company is agnostic. We survey upwards of 300 plus PLM-related companies. Each year we report out on the marketing position of the companies and breakdown by industry, et cetera. So that's one aspect of the business, but we consult with the solution providers to help them understand where the needs are, where the consumers of their products are going in terms of their needs and interests and requirements, and how to best plan and then represent their products into the marketplace. And then on the industrial consumer side, we provide guidance in terms of strategy and technology selection and planning and executing successful programs. So that's the business SimData's in. I was attracted to it after retiring. Of course, I knew the people way back from decades before and had many interactions with them over the year. I would say that the people that work for SimData are all different. It's hard to say here's the typical profile, but I'll say one thing that is typical of the people that work for SimData is that they are deeply experienced. In several cases, it's a second career. That's the case for me. And I am responsible for that part of the SimData business that provides consulting services and thought leadership to aerospace and defense as an industry. But I do consulting broadly, whether it's aerospace and defense companies or automotive companies, also companies that produce butter, greeting cards, tires. And a lot of these different industries, obviously the needs are different, the size of the companies are different, but there's more similarity and cross-pollination that can be achieved across the industries. It's very valuable. So even though we have our specialties, we like to keep our fingers in several pies so that we can share the benefits across industry as well as deep expertise within industries.
Well, thanks for that background. I mean, with that last comment, you know, Archer Gray has also started, we've coined a group called the Local PLM Group, and we do it in strategic locations where there's the concentration of folks all on the PTC platform. One of our objectives is to identify, well, one, have a diversity of clients participate.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the second thing is to identify those common areas where we can help them standardize in areas to help them be more efficient and ultimately align with the software providers and help the software providers gain access into some of those common areas so we can influence the direction of the software and hopefully minimize the costs of what some of the clients in particular industries are investing in customization work.
Right.
And establishing standards. So could you tell me a little bit? So I believe you started the Aerospace and Defense PLM Action Group.
Yeah, that's correct.
So can you tell me a little bit more about that group, what the pain point was as to why you even started it in the first place?
Okay. Going back to some of my earlier comments, I made a note that PLM early investment as well as early adoption was really spearheaded by aerospace and defense. And a lot of the PLM systems we know today actually were created and went through their early development within aerospace companies. So if you go back to the early 90s, you say, well, where is aerospace relative to the capability of PLM technologies? The lines matched because the PLM technologies were emerging out of the aerospace companies. So you say, well, are the aerospace companies, how are they doing as far as capitalizing or exploiting the capability of the technology? There's a match there because they were the creators of it. But as the technology emerged from out of the aerospace companies, became independent and they were being adopted by automotive in particular, but other industries like heavy machinery, high tech, electronics, et cetera, these other industries were starting to capitalize on exploit the technology in their own ways and within their own set of constraints and opportunities in terms of how they could use it. And what happens over time is because of the way the aerospace industry invests in solutions, they invest on the basis of program. And each program, they'll decide, okay, what technology are we going to use? And they say, okay, let's implement this new solution, which is the next generation beyond what we had in the last program. They never go back and upgrade the previous program. So what happens is after several programs over maybe, you know, a period of 15, 20 years, aerospace found themselves in a situation where they were supporting multiple environments, multiple generations with various different technologies. Automotive was in that situation in the 80s, but through the 90s and up into the 2000s, that decade, they made a fundamental decision. We are not going to go by car division. We're not going to go by car platform. Everybody's going to use the same technology. That was tremendously disruptive within automotive, but they did it. And the result is that they have standardized platforms within automotive. You take General Motors as an example. They want to go from one release of their corporate PLM system to the next release of the corporate PLM system. They can do that over 3 weekends in a block release, and they can convert over 20, 30,000 engineers from one environment to the next. Within aerospace, that's absolutely impossible.
Wow.
So aerospace has found themselves over the last 5 to 10 years with a realization they are not the world leaders in the exploitation of the potential of PLM. And they have some very fundamental issues that they're trying to address. And that was the motivation for companies like Airbus and Boeing, Dassault Aviation, Gulfstream, Bombardier, and then the aircraft engine companies, Rolls-Royce engine, Pratt Whitney, and GE Aviation, other companies that are made, and the Safran is an engine provider in our latest member to join the Aerospace and Defense Action Group is Mitsubishi Regional Jets. So we have 11 members who have come together, and they're working to solve common problems, what they call common pain points. And the motivation for the group is that they're investing. Every time they need to implement a new next generation of PLM solution within their corporations, they're finding that the cost to essentially re-implement to achieve parity, never mind advance, is a factor of somewhere between 4 and 6 times the original cost. And it's just an unsustainable model. And so they're, the premise behind this group is that if they can collaborate in a non-competitive way, strictly on a basis of technology and how do we improve the processes and the technology to provide PLM capability, and recognize that that is not a basis of competition, it's just a basis of redundant and extremely high repetitive cost, that they can make real progress. So their mission statement is that they want to act as an advocate on PLM-related topics that are of greatest importance to the members within the aerospace and defense industry. And the way they operate is they identify the pain points, they prioritize, and then they invest in a series of projects over a period of 2 to 3 years where they identify the problem. They then do a root cause analysis and define objectives for a desired future state. They define the future state, and then they define requirements by which the future state can be realized. And at every step through this progression, they engage with the solution providers to gain their insights and response and suggestions as to how they can work collaboratively to, in the end, have a defined desired future state and a set of requirements that then can be communicated and agreed to as a common position by all of these members in communication to the solution providers. And the intent is then what we hear from the solution providers, what they've heard in the past is, well, when we go and we ask you, what are your pain points? What do you need from us? We don't get consistent answers. And if we get a good answer, then it's not well supported by in-depth study to determine that, yes, those are well-stated, well-founded requirements. So this is an intent of the members to basically identify the problem, do the research to be able to identify the root cause, the remedial action in terms of requirements, and then communicate that with a unified voice to the solution providers. So they've been at it now for, this is going into their fifth year. And the topics that they've taken on include, number one, PLM technology obsolescence. So they've created a model and defined requirements to address that issue. Another one is multiple view bill of material. And this has to do with the desire to be able to have an engineering bill of material, manufacturing bill of material, services bill of material that are managed by the community that is responsible for that operational domain, but where there's the traceability and consistency in the relationship between those views of the product structure. And they've been investing heavily in that now for the last 3 years. They do major workshops between the members over twice a year. And over the last year and a half, they've invited tier one suppliers to join them in participating in the project. And the tier one suppliers add tremendous richness, because it's not only the ability within an OEM to manage and have consistency between an EBOM and an MBOM, but also to be able to communicate in a consistent fashion with a tier one supplier that's dealing with multiple OEMs. So it's been a very rich dialogue and very productive dialogue.
Well, I mean, thank you for that background. I mean, we run into clients who will struggle with establishing a roadmap. I mean, some clients are implementing for the first time, right? So they're looking for strategy and direction so that it can foster their growth and achieve their corporate objectives and 3 to 5 year vision. Others have implemented and are stuck. There's this internal perception of, it's a data repository.
Yep.
PLM is. And then they often look for solutions and, hey, what are we going to achieve next year? And they go through this budgeting cycle. But PLM really becomes this, as you had mentioned earlier, a strategic enterprise platform. Every company who's in business that creates a product, that product is their source of revenue. And it's hard to argue that PLM is not an enterprise strategic platform for which to achieve your corporate objectives. And one thing that they struggle with, aside from, you know, just building a roadmap, you've got to take a few steps back and deal with these things that you may feel are unique to your organization, but they're problems across, you know, not only specifically to an industry, but cross industry. So the ones that you brought up around global collaboration, model-based definition, multiple viewed bill of material, model-based systems engineering. I mean, those are big, big, big topics, and the complexity associated to it with aerospace and defense, I'm sure is a bit more complicated than some other industries, but those are topics that I think if it standardizes, especially in aerospace and defense, it'll help set major direction for other companies in various industries.
Right. Well, one of the things with the group is that they have matured over time. They started with a vision, which was realized in their mission, and their mission really hasn't changed over the 5 years, but their actual focus for execution has. In the first year when they were founded, they had 4 members, Airbus, Boeing, Embraer, and Gulfstream. So there's only a certain amount of resource, and they picked the 2 projects out of 12 that they wanted to do, and it was obsolescence management and global collaboration. But then as they added members, they started being able to take on more projects and started to engage productively in conversation on an annual cycle with the PLM solution providers. What they've focusing on now over this last year or two is to extend out to the broader ecosystem. They've established their own website, and all of their work products, whether they're direction statements or research reports or position papers, are available on that public website. And the idea is to promote within aerospace and defense, but also within other industries, as you mentioned, Patrick, common view, and they solicit input and comments back from people that are involved in PLM from other industries relative to the work that they're doing. And what they're focused on now is establishing formal collaboration with the automotive industry on some of these topics. In particular, right now, model-based system engineering is a topic where there is serious discussion of establishing joint projects between the A&D PLM Action Group, these 11 members, and their counterparts within the automotive industry. So we're looking forward to exciting times ahead and continuing to have broader input, more resources applied to solving these problems, and then broader exposure to the ideas so that other people within the industry and across industries can benefit.
That's really exciting, Jim. So I know that there's going to be people that want to learn more about that and especially read some of those papers and positions. So what is the website for everybody who's listening that may want to do further investigation?
Okay, that would be www.ad-phe.com.
Okay, perfect. So www.ad, as in dog, dash,
P. Or defense.
Yep, or defense. Yeah, thank you. I'm trying to make it cross-industry.
Yeah, well, it's Aerospace and Defense PLM Action Group, so it's ad-phag.
Yep, perfect. All right.
.com.
Great.
And yeah, it's aerospace. I mean, they're trying to solve their problems. But as you mentioned, Patrick, a lot of these ideas and a lot of these concepts are relevant across many industries. And the members will, if you go out and you read a paper and then you've got some ideas that you want to share, there's a place where you can post your comments and people will respond to your comments. So it can start a dialogue, which is something they want and I think could be beneficial.
Excellent. Well, Jim, listen, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me today. I loved learning more about your extensive background and all the exciting things you're doing at SimData related to not only the work that you do every day, but also this Aerospace and Defense PLM Action Group. I really think it's exciting and you know, your years of experience and seeing how the industry has changed, the industry of PLM, I think adds a lot of value, and that's evident by the growing members of this group and the names that are participating, as you had mentioned, Bombardier and Airbus and Boeing, Embraer, and many others. So thanks so much for the time. I appreciate it, and we'll look forward to continuing to help others. Do you have any closing comments, Jim?
Well, I want to thank you, Patrick, for the invitation and the opportunity. And I want to compliment you on doing this series. I think it provides a great opportunity to share thoughts and ideas with people who are fellow or sister professionals in the field. And again, thank you very much.